thanks to Allison for a great show. It was fun hanging out with you, too, as well. Thanks a lot for all the great tunes.
Hey, Allison, thank you.
Always appreciate seeing you. It's nice to see the ladies here for Alice in Wonderland. Great show every other week. She switches off with the Mischievous Mermaid. Probably the hardest word for me to say. The Mischievous Mermaid. I'm getting better, though, my golly. That's for sure. So I want to say this is KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, and also K224CQ Moloa, and K284AL in Haleiwa, the world's happiest town, supposedly. And this is Kauai Earth Connection, a little after 5, and I want to say that Kauai Earth Connection is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Coffee, Ching Young Village, Kalaheo Chiropractor, and Judy Collins.
Kauai Coffee Company. The Kauai Coffee Estate is located on Highway 540. Walking tour and samples of all of our coffees available. 100% Island Estate grown Kauai Coffee. More information online at kauaicoffee.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services. Providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Auto accident, workman injury cases, and most major health insurance plans and Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday. Now a second location in Kapa'a, 8220711, or Southside Center, 332-5580, or kalaheochiropractic.com.
Lazar Bear Productions presents An Evening with Judy Collins, Thursday, January 22nd, at the KCC Performing Arts Center. That's singer-songwriter and folk music icon Judy Collins performing on Kauai for one night only, January 22nd, at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Information, tickets, and Gold Circle at 808-896-4845 or online at lazarbear.com. That's LazarBear.com.
Oh, thank you so much for supporting Kauai
Community Radio.
That's right.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This is Gordon Lebeds, and we're going to do Kauai Earth Connection again this month. Just so you know, this is not a call-in show. We only have an hour, and we've got news and commentary of the Kauai environment, and we just kind of rattle through lots of little issues here and there and everywhere, what happened over the last month, or at least what we just determined what was significant this last month. And we always love to start out with the Surf Rider Foundation Blue Water Task Force water quality monitoring results,
bacterial concentration.
Bacteria.
And keep in mind that less than 10 as far as results for the numbering system is considered okay or safe. And the good news, the important good news is that the overwhelming majority of beaches on the island of Kauai are clean. The overwhelming majority of beaches are clean. And we should rattle down you want to take that? Yeah, just rattle down the clean beaches that are tested.
Well, of the 21 that are tested, 9 of them are 10 or less. That's Kali'iwai, Pine Trees, Anahola, Kahalani.
I don't know where that is.
Horners, yeah. Waikokos, Kealia, and the Kapa'a County Beach Park, and PKs. All those are less than 10 or 10.
PKs is Prince Kohio Condominiums at Poipu.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a surf break.
Me not being a surfer, a lot of these names I don't know.
You know, me being a West Sider, a lot of these names I don't know. That's true, but
thanks for telling me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, Kalapaki Bay, 31.
Not bad. Not bad.
You know, it's only, what, 3 times worse than
3 times
is allowable. And the Salt Pond, 41. Rock Quarries, 52. And then we move into, you know, those that surpass the 100 level. Wainiha Stream at 135, but then it starts to get into the red zone.
There we have Pakala Bay. It's a big surf spot on the west side, mileage marker 21, which only is 253, which is, or excuse me, 226, which the average for Pakala for the last 3 months has been 410. Pakala's always polluted. We've never had a normal result at Pakala because of the cow poop there. There are cows that poop in the stream, and it's always dirty, always dangerous. It's a good surf break, people. It's always crowded, but the pollution doesn't seem to deter anyone. And then the Waimea River was kind of polluted. It must have been raining a little bit, 253. Now, Willy Stream was more dirty than normal, 408. Their average this year was 251. So now Willy Stream is that little stream where the kids play in at right. Duke's restaurant there.
Right there, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little mom's beach. The moms sit and watch the kids play in the
never
in
clean.
The water.
Never you know. Clean. Never.
Never. And it's never been normal.
In the 5 years we've been doing this.
Never, yeah.
At least.
Kaloa Landing is where they teach skin diving. and that's always dirty, very dirty, not just a little dirty. Their average was 1,200, which is really dangerous. It's not safe to put your head underwater in that area. And 689 was this month, so not bad compared to normal.
A little outrageous, but yeah. Half, not bad.
Gillens is in that little house at Mahalulepu.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, and that's always been dirty. That's salt water, 1019. Gillens is always dirty in the ocean at the beach there. And that's really problematic because of the whole dairy farm issue, which we'll talk about later. Then we have the always dirty, never clean Hanamalu Stream, 2000, excuse me. Yeah, it's really bad. And
worse than its last 3 months' geo mean.
Yeah, Niumalu, always dirty. Hanamalu, Niumalu, don't go there. Mahalepu, don't. Yeah, they're dirty beaches. They're always dirty. Now, Waiopili is the name of a stream that empties into Mahalulepu, and they've been recently testing that because of the whole dairy farm issue. They wanted to get baselines before the cows come in, and that's been just filthy dirty. But that's the stream, 8,164. It's really, really dirty, but that's not the beach, that's the stream, and all the streams on Kauai are dirty. I mean, there isn't a clean stream on this island. Maybe way up at the headwaters up by Mount Waialeale is clean, but when it gets down to the ocean, it's got the septic tanks and the cesspools and the runoff and the yada yada and the cows and the pigs and
right.
dogs and whoever else poops in the stream.
And the Waiopili over there, that's, yeah. 13,000. I mean, ever since they've started, it's become the number one most polluted by a long shot.
But yeah, by a lot.
You know, I mean, that's terrible. Less than 10 is considered safe.
Yeah. So, again, stressing the overwhelming majority of beaches on Kauai are clean and safe. Well, yeah.
50%. Less than 50, actually.
All right.
Nine of the 21
all
are
right.
considered safe. And once again, you know, our county and state have refused or dropped the ball or choose not to, because it may affect tourism or something like that, put up signs to let people know. And so we encourage folks to go to Surfrider website.
Surfrider.org/Kauai or KauaiSurfrider.org. And look at the results to see what beaches are good and not good. You know, we were chatting with Allison before the show. Allison was the DJ on before us. And she said, well, geez, what are you guys doing about this? And what us guys, whoever us guys are, I guess the Surf Rider Foundation, their goal is to educate people as to the problem. Because people won't solve a problem until they know there is a problem. And the bottom line is, and this is what I learned as a water quality activist all my life, is that nature cleans water. Nature can be full of bacteria, too, because there's wild animals, et cetera, but by and large, if you have running streams that have curves in it, that have rocks in it, that aerate it, if you have wetlands with plants, nature will clean those streams before they get to the beach. And what we humans have done is disturbed nature to such a point that the streams and rivers are no longer natural. The wetlands are gone. You look at some of the towns, Hanapepe, Kekaha, Hanale, they're all built on wetlands. And once you pave over the wetlands, you destroyed one of nature's main ways to clean water.
It's a giant water filter.
Yeah, wetlands are the kidneys of the sea, is the way I like to say it. And, you know, we have lots of wetlands on Kauai still, but, you know, we're losing them, and nobody really pays attention here because we have so many that it's easy to ignore.
Or easy to forget. I always like to remind people of there used to be.
Yeah.
From Waimea to Poahali. Right. I mean, I always bring that up. You drive through there, and it looks like an environmental disaster, which it is, really, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's just this dry, barren wasteland. Yeah. And it used to be a wetlands.
Yeah.
Underwater. You used to have to take a boat.
Yeah. And it would be today if they turned off the pumps for a week. I mean, they have pumps running 24/7.
At PMRF.
Besides, whole Mana plane.
Oh, okay.
The whole plane would be... you know, I have a friend who takes care of those pumps, and when they break, man, there's flooding. You know, and it's you're fighting nature when you grow corn in a wetland. And a lot of people don't realize, but the United States has lost 50% of our wetlands, and we haven't lost it to cities. It's primarily agriculture that causes wetland destruction.
Right where I grew up in Minnesota was a big giant wetland.
Sure.
And they drained a lot of those wetlands, and, you know, because it's
good
prime
soil.
Prime farmland underneath. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about agriculture in this country is almost all of it is grown to feed cows. The soy and the corn, it goes to cows. It goes to the meat industry. A food that's not particularly, it's bad for you. Eating meat is not a healthy thing to do. Yet our government, our farm bill, subsidizes the meat industry by subsidizing the corn and soy industry, even to pay farmers not to farm, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're subsidizing the destruction of wetlands. So, you know, that's the story about what are we doing about it. We've got to protect our wetlands. We've got to protect our streams and rivers. We've got to keep concrete out of rivers. Stop straightening rivers with concrete, walls on the side.
Right, make it a flume.
Yeah. Because the flood control guys, their whole goal is to get the water down to the beach as quickly as possible. And that might be good to prevent flooding, but it's certainly not good for water quality or wildlife. And that's kind of the story.
And erosion as well.
Yeah, and erosion. You know, I mean, the secret to avoid flooding is not to build houses and roads in areas that flood all the time. That's not rocket science. But humans are just like funny. You know, we do things without long-term thinking.
So once again, you can go to surfrider.org, the Kauai chapter for the Blue Water Task Force, to get an update on safe places that are not polluted.
The reason the South Shore is so clean frequently because Kaloa Landing's in the South Shore. That's an exception, but it's because it doesn't rain there very much. It's sunny there, and that's prevents those streams from filling up with water. The reason the North Shore has more issues is because it rains more there up there, and the rains flow down into the rivers, and the septic tanks the cesspools leach into the rivers. So thank you, Carl Berg, Blue Water Task Force Chair of the Surfrider Foundation, for doing that. You've been doing it for 6 years now, and results are pretty stable, quite frankly. Although we've sure have learned a lot about the Maha'ulepu area and how dirty that is. Wowzer, we'll talk about that in a bit. But I wanted to switch to another subject, which is also related to the Surfrider Foundation work. And that is the Surfrider Foundation, probably about twice a month, sometimes three times a month, clean the beaches here on the island.
Most noteworthy is their net patrol, led by Barbara Wiedner, which has saved countless animals by taking nets off the beach. And these nets are not locally generated nets. These are nets are nets that come from far, far out in the oceans, mostly Alaska. And they wind up here on our beaches and on the way kill, well, the statistic is 300,000 marine mammals are killed every year by fishnets. It's the number one threat to marine mammals is fishnets. And the Surfrider Foundation takes these nets off the beach and disposes them. But one of the things they asked us to announce is if you see a propane tank on the beach, if it's got Japanese writing on it, call the Surfrider Foundation, 337-9977, and let them know, because the Surfrider Foundation is monitoring Japanese tsunami debris, they call it. And it's that, well, how long ago was that tsunami? It was 2 years ago, yeah?
Something.
A long time ago. But we're getting Japanese tsunami debris now on the island of Kauai. And in the last few months, they've gotten a whole bunch of propane tanks from Fukushima. And if you get that, the Surfrider Foundation would like to know about it. And by the way, they check it all with the Geiger counter. And a very high-end, fancy Geiger counter. They've never, ever found any radioactivity on any of the Japanese trash, the Fukushima trash. But the also call the DNLR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources of the state, because it's considered hazardous waste. It's dangerous, and you don't even know what's in those tanks, frankly. So just don't touch it. Leave it alone and let the DNLR remove it and let the Surfrider Foundation tally it, if you will, for their results. I think Surfrider Foundation has removed 16 tons or something of trash last year.
I remember some out. It was quite a while.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they haven't found any tsunami trash, because that happened in 2011.
Yeah.
Tsunami. And it was 4 years ago, you think it would have.
Was it 4 years ago?
Yeah, ended up here.
4 years
2011,
ago.
Man.
Wow.
2011. Time flies.
Yeah. Wow. Sure. And we're still getting it. But, you know, it went around the loop. It went to California and it's coming back the way that the currents go.
Uh-huh.
It didn't come straight from Japan to here. It went via California and Alaska and back. So, yeah, so that's the story on the Surfrider Foundation. And again, thank you. Thank you, Surfrider Foundation, for all the work you guys are doing. It's amazing. It's strong work. Lots and lots of volunteers, lots of hours put in. So, we're moving right along. We got this deal.
Dairy farm,
you know.
Seems to be quite a fiasco, and
jeez.
It's pretty amazing. The Cosmic Mama was listening to this show, and it was about dairy. And it was very, very fascinating. The one thing, the whole pasteurization came about in the 20s, 1920s, because of there was a bovine leukemia. There was a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when there was many, many small dairies. And so it was really hard to regulate. So that's where pasteurization came into effect, where they heat the milk up for 5 minutes to 168 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't. It's interesting because that didn't actually kill the bovine leukemia enzyme or bacteria that was in the milk, but it created this false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
And now that dairies are very like big and giant, I mean, there's one dairy in the state of Hawaii, and that's it. And healthy cows do not carry bovine leukemia. That's the only problem. Now, granted, it does go bad quick. That's true, but one thing that I found out about this, and it's kind of a no-brainer, but I never considered it. When you pasteurize milk, now you're drinking a cup full of dead bacteria.
Right.
Because
right.
There isn't anything nutritious left in it, because they've killed it all, except for the bovine leukemia potential. But So a lot of the lactose intolerant is coming from the ingestion of dead bacteria. And I just wanted to bring that up because a lot of people are talking about the dairy farm and the environmental concerns that go along with the dairy farm, dealing with water quality and smell and flies and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, but one thing that's been kept out of it to some degree is milk's not even healthy for you.
No.
Especially in that form, pasteurized.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry, not pasteurized. I mean, milk is designed for baby cows. And they grow 50% every 3 months, just like a baby human. Mom's milk and baby humans are it's the most fattening, growth-inducing food there is that a species gives. I was just reading today that humpback whales grow a few inches a day from their mother's milk. They don't eat anything except mother's milk when they come here in Hawaii. And they grow a couple inches every day. Milk is this extremely fattening, growth-inducing substance that is designed for an infant baby. No species drinks the milk of other animals except humans. And it's an enormously saturated fat food that we know saturated fat is linked to heart disease, strokes. There's nothing healthy about milk.
What about calcium?
Yeah, where the cows get their calcium is by eating grass. That's where elephants get calcium. The biggest animals there are get calcium from eating green leafies. That's where you're supposed to get your calcium. It's more bioavailable. You know, I'm on a high horse here. I was a physician in my previous life. I was a family doctor at Kaiser Permanente, and I've been a big vegetarian activist for the last 3 decades. And I could do a whole show explaining how important a vegetarian diet is for the environment. But just this whole thing about dairy farms, that a lot of activists are saying, well, we're not against dairy farms. We're just against dairy farm in this place. Well, this environmentalist is against dairy farms, period. You put a whole bunch of cows in a concentrated area, and you're going to cause methane, which is the number one cause of global warming. You're going to cause a massive amount of poop and pee that is going to go into either the groundwater or the streams. You're going to cause unhealthy food. You know, that it's just, there's nothing good about a dairy farm, and Kauai doesn't need a dairy farm. And I don't know if you saw the Garden Island yesterday. They had a big article about how the milk industry is collapsing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you see that? Good, I didn't know that. It was like, oh, good.
Well, you know, because there's been all these replacements as well, you know, oats and
soy milk, and I drink almond milk.
Yeah, I mean, there's this whole world opened up that, oh, it's not just cow milk.
There's
all kinds of stuff out there. So,
and to me, it's unfortunate they call it milk, soy milk, and cow milk. But anyway, yeah, the fact is that Kauai can't sustain a dairy farm, and in my view, if they build this silly thing, it's gonna go the way of the super ferry. It's just not a good idea. It's not a profitable business to ship milk over to Oahu for people in Oahu to drink. But the bottom line is people in the Kalua Poipu area are really against it. And the meetings there are pretty well attended. They're getting lawyers ready. The Hyatt Hotel has already filed a legal action about the potential smells and nuisance that a dairy farm might cause their customers. And, you know, it's going to be a battle. I think the folks who are involved are not giving an inch. The lead group is called the Friends of Maha'u Lepu, and the other group that's working hard on it is the Malama Maha'u Lepu. And the Surfrider Foundation is aiding both groups, as well as the Sierra Club is aiding both groups. So it's not going to be an easy deal, and they got them to produce an environmental impact statement, which has kind of slowed the process down dramatically. And
I like to point out that the same group that's going to conduct the environmental impact statement will be the same group that drafted the dairy's business plan.
Yeah.
So yeah, something to consider as well.
That's
that
pretty
room.
Typical on the EISs.
So.
But you know, the thing about these when you put all these cows in a close area, you're going to have problems. I mean, back in the day when your grandma and great grandma were alive, the cows walked around and ate grass, and they had acres and acres of land to tootle around in and be cows. And now they're just packed in little fenced areas, and they're now called confined animal feeding operations, CAFOs. And these CAFOs are, you know, the word is out on those things. There's a national movement against these things, and it's not just here in Kauai, but everywhere. So I think we're gonna find that I just saw a thing that there was a lawsuit, in another state that slapped CAFOs in the hands. The EPA rules, there are now rules about combined animal feeding operations. And this includes, by the way, pig farms and chicken farms and all these kind of things where you push a lot of animals together in a factory. Factory farms is what I call them. So we will see. Keep tuned. Get involved if you're concerned. And the best thing you can do for the environment, and again, this is a whole nother show, but not the best thing, but the easiest best thing you can do for the environment is to not eat animal food. Eat plants. Eat plants, fruits, vegetables, and grains. You'll be healthier and the earth will be healthier. And again, that's a subject for a whole nother show. So let's just kind of move on along. I think we'll hear about the dairy farm for quite some time as far as an environmental issue here on this show. But one of the things that came to light recently in the media was the coffee beetle. The coffee beetle has arrived on Oahu and has been attacking coffee, and it has not arrived here on Kauai. But the Kauai Coffee Company is very, very worried about it, as they should be. Because, you know, I've been on the Big Island looking at those coffee farms, and most of those coffee farms there, and that's why, the Big Island Coffee, Kona Coffee, mostly boutique farms. They're little farms that are done by a few people, and the coffee's hand-picked, and they, you know, they look at the plants every day, and they only pick the right beans, and blah-de-blah-de-blah. Well, the Kauai Coffee is an industrial kind of deal. They clip the coffee so that it's a certain way so a machine can come through and chop all the, shake the coffee beans out of the tree. And it's just completely industrialized coffee. And when you have, I think, what is it, 3,000 acres of just pure coffee, nothing else growing, no shade, no other natural plants, you've built what they call a monoculture, just one crop. And monocultures are not what nature does. Nature has plants that grow together, that are happy together, and they form a symbiotic relationship. So when you grow coffee in a place like LA, which is almost a desert, you're going to have coffee that's not healthy. And right now it seems healthy, but you know it's not going to continue to be that way. Just like all those cornfields out in Kekaha, you know, it's all that monoculture. It's going to make it disease. You know, just think of yourself. If you don't eat right, if all you eat is junk food, if you never exercise, if you don't get enough sleep, you're going to get sick. Well, same thing with coffee. Same thing with corn. If you don't take care of your health, you're going to get sick. And monoculture is simply an outdated form of agriculture. Right. It's industrial agriculture.
It's a failed model.
It's a failed model.
Because they have to continue to, you know, just work it intensively.
Yeah.
Instead of like...
Yeah. And it needs a lot of chemicals.
Yeah.
Fertilizers, pesticides, all kinds of artificial things to keep it going.
I like to remind people that when you drive by those quiet coffee fields, notice there's nothing growing in between those areas, and that's because they heavily spray those things.
Yeah.
Heavily with restricted pesticide.
Yeah, they're a high user of the poisonous restricted pesticides that we were talking about when that whole GMO pesticide bill came up. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So I like to remind people, and that's why there's nothing green. You folks that live on this island, you should know. I mean, you do know that everything has some form of vegetation on it, unless you spray it or really intensively. You know, stay on top of it. And even then, it's still, the weeds just keep coming back, the green. And you never see hardly anything growing in between the rows.
Yeah. And weeds are just plants that humans don't like. You know, weeds are natural, and weeds belong here. And we need to stop worrying about weeds.
Weeds and insects.
Yeah.
They're on our side.
They're part of nature.
Right, you know? Right.
So this is Kauai Earth Connection. This is Gordon Lebedz and and we're doing our show every third Monday. And what we do is we run over what we consider the big environmental issues over the last month. And so far we've gone over the water quality results from the Surf Rider Foundation. We've talked about Japanese tsunami debris, which has not been radioactive, but still coming. Even though the tsunami happened many years ago, we talked about the proposed confined animal feeding operation, so-called dairy farm at Mahaulepu. And we just talked about the Kauai coffee issue and the potential of the coffee beetle coming here to Kauai. So, should we move along or do the middle of the hour daily?
Let's pull this up and then we'll regroup and we'll come right back.
All right, then.
Here, we'll play a little bit of this,
yeah.
And then we'll come right back to you folks.
There's a drop of water on the wall, and the drop's about to fall, and it falls into a trickle, and the trickle's flowing down, down, down to the ground, and the moss begins to grow. Watch, 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 watch the water flow, and watch the current become a stream. Busting through the seams, cracking through the concrete, bending down the steel, in a raging that is real, a tearing torrent you can feel the thunder growing, thunder underground, and in my heart, the chains falling apart, the wildness in my soul, and for once in life, I know I'm not alone. For the mountains make our bones, with the oceans in our blood, our feet planted firmly in the mud. We are alive, the burning embers in our eyes, the tingling touch upon our skin, and in the heat of passion we begin.
Our favorite Dana Lyons there,
Dana, yeah.
Right there, give us a little bit of a time to regroup. We had a phone call, a young man, and he subscribes to this magazine called The Economist.
Oh, yeah.
And he said the last year or so, there's been a lot of articles about dairies, and it's looking at the Dutch. And what Dutch government has done is they have seen what dairies do and the side effects dealing with seepage and water quality and air quality and all that. And what they've done is they're deciding to limit the number and size of dairies instead of so they're not allowing these big feedlots of dairy cows. And I just thought that was what a great example of they've seen it. So I guess he made it sound like the Dutch are one of the world leaders in dairy production.
They are. You know, I always when I speak about vegetarian diet, I always mention that the country with the highest rate of osteoporosis in the world is one of the highest consumers of dairy products. It's Finland. And of course, the main reason is they don't get enough sunshine up there. But it's also all that so-called calcium that comes in dairy is not helping them at all. But yeah, I'm surprised that the Dutch are cracking down. My hope is that the market will take care of that. Now that more and more people know that saturated fat is bad for you and that dairy foods are not good for a body, more and more people are drinking soy milk and almond milk. I mean, you go to Costco and more of the space there is filled with non-dairy kinds of drinks. So that's pretty cool.
It is nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to pass it on. Thanks a lot to folks that have called in. Another gentleman talked about pesticide use and how it's so much more than just the GMOs. There's many farmers out there that feel justified, and there's just like a disconnect. So
yeah,
but we'll cover that. I want to move into the new ordinance that has been presented here on Kauai. It's an air pollution bill, Bill 2573, introduced last Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a issue that to me, I'm not impressed at all with it because to me it's not strong enough. What I gather from watching it on Hawiki and reading the paper is that if you burn something in your house, whether it be in a fireplace or a campfire or whatever, and it bothers someone else, then you have to stop.
The wording goes, it's illegal and a public nuisance for any person, firm, or corporation in the county of Kauai to intentionally, knowingly, and recklessly cause smoke, soot, poisonous gases, dirt, dust, or debris of any kind to escape in the open air that can injure a person's health or damage property. That's the actual wording, which some of it's kind of nice. I was wondering how far will they extend it?
Well, you know, my favorite thing is polluters. Polluters always give three basic reasons. One, my little bit doesn't matter. Two, it's too expensive not to pollute. Or three, everybody else does it, so why can't I? Those are you name it, whether you're the DuPont Chemical Company or Joe Schmo next door. Those are the three reasons to pollute. And, you know, air pollution isn't a big issue on this island simply because we have these trade winds. And we have very few people here. We have hardly any. There's only, 100,000 people on the island at any time. So, of course, we don't have bad pollution here. But that doesn't make polluting okay. So my read is you know, I come from... I used to live in Southern California. I mean, you can see the air there. If you take a deep breath, you cough. I mean, fireplaces have been illegal in Southern California for 40 or 50 years. I don't know, just really long time. And I don't think fireplaces belong on Kauai. I don't think campfires belong here. They produce particulates in the air that once they get in your lungs cause heart disease, cancer, strokes. It's unhealthy and there's no need for it. If there were a need to burn things, like to burn fuel for electricity, okay, so we got to do that. So there are rules, you know, that if you burn naphtha or diesel, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has a whole set of rules for you to abide by that mitigate that. That's 10 times cleaner than a fireplace or a campfire. And, you know, I'd say it's not strong enough. A ban fires. You know, I was just at the beach this morning. There was a campfire and a tent at the beach on the Robinson's property over there on the west side. And, you know, it stunk. And I coughed as I walked by it, you know. And it's like, I'm sorry. It's true. It's only a little. But it adds up. And the more people we have moving here, the more worse it's going to be a problem. So there you have it. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I would disagree on some of those levels because a campfire is, you know, pretty small. Why don't we start where there's real big issues, like the cruise ship?
You know,
those folks in Niamalu, they have to go wash their gardens off after the cruise ship is here. I mean, if we're going to start to ban stuff, let's start with that. Burger King pushes out a tremendous amount of soot.
Yes, they do.
You know?
And dangerous soot, too, because it's meat that they're burning. Yeah, it's it's got polystyrene.
Right. Drives you kapow when chicken in a barrel is going off, you know?
That's
and
true.
So let's think about that. But then again, what about the cumulative effect of the kapow traffic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so I really think it's kind of silly to worry about my campfire or my wood stove where I live. Because we're just going through this cloud of negative air quality, and you're going to worry, and they're going to worry about my fireplace.
Well, you know, you raise a really important point because a lot of environmental issues are focused on because of noise that grassroots activists make, and they're not necessarily the biggest problems. So I get it. Yeah, a campfire. There's damn few fireplaces on this island.
Exactly.
There are very few campfires. That's a good point.
Is that an issue we really need to worry about?
Yeah,
what about my neighbor who sprays the fence line?
Yeah.
Right next to my property.
Yeah.
And
that's
why the wording I thought was interesting. Soot, poisonous gas, dirt, dust, or debris of any kind to escape.
Yeah.
What about the heavy machinery when they're working on a new hotel complex?
No, you're right about that.
I think they should go for the big stuff.
The big problems.
And not worry about it. I know the big push was because one neighbor has a fireplace and the next door neighbor has asthma issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
So should I become a criminal because of one person?
Well,
I would become a criminal.
You raise a really good point there, too, because if my neighbor called me up and said, you know, dude, I'm choking to death because of what you're doing, I'd stop. You know, wouldn't you? I mean, geez.
I would definitely find some form
of
common ground. And I've had to because we do sweat lodge, so we have a religious ceremony that requires a big fire for many hours. And my neighbor came over and said, hey, my wife. So you know, we found a compromise.
Yeah.
So it all works out. I agree.
Yeah.
That neighbor with the should help. And figured those two folks should get together and be able to solve it. I think a mediator would be better instead of a brand new bill to outlaw stuff like that.
That's
because
true.
I know they're not going to shut down Burger King or the cruise ships or Port Allen or Kapaa traffic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, the way to deal with cruise ships is on a federal level. And, you know, I've been involved in that when I used to live in Los Angeles. It's cruise, the stuff that comes out of the smokestacks of a cruise ship is bunker fuel. They burn this stuff it's like tar is what they burn, and it's just horribly polluting and probably creates more, I'm just guessing, but it probably creates more pollution than all the campfires put together. So, that's a good point. Focus on the problems that are the biggest ones and solve them first. That's not to say that fireplaces and barbecues and campfires aren't polluters, but it is to say that it probably isn't the biggest air pollution problem that we have on this island. So, there's arguments that are good, you know, but for me, where I sit, anything that slows down air pollution is a good thing. just because we have trade winds that blow the pollution out into the ocean doesn't mean that all the whales and the dolphins and the fish don't get that pollution. And a great case in point is a lecture I heard a number of years ago at the Hanapepe Library. This guy, Robin Baird, talked about the testing the fat of these whales. They're false killer whales, are kinds of dolphins that never come close to the land. They're always out far offshore, and they had a tremendous amount of toxic chemicals in their whale blubber. And the reason is because they eat fish, and they eat big fish. They eat tuna, the same fish that humans eat, and the poisons accumulate in their fat. And where does that poison come? Flame retardants. How does a flame retardant get in the fat of a false killer whale? Well, you know how it gets there. The smog settles in the water, and the little fish eat the big fish, and the big fish eat bigger fish. And, you know, it's pollution affects us all. And to say my little bit doesn't hurt is not a good argument in my view. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to look at it.
It's really hard to see some, like a cruise ship, just belching out that and then have me be the criminal.
Yeah,
so
no, I get it.
The little bit, you know, let's start from the top down.
Yeah, I get it. I remember we talked about smoking on the beach as a pollution issue. You know, what a tiny little contribution to air pollution that is.
Right.
You know,
right.
Compared to all the cars that go 5 miles an hour in Kapaa. You know, I mean, it's true. We need to focus on the big things first. Yeah, so here we are, the Quiet Earth Connection. We got a couple more issues to do. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This is Gordon Labedz and Jan. We're talking about the environmental conservation issues on the island of Kauai this month.
Yeah, let's work our way into let's spend a couple minutes on the Kapaa subdivision.
Yeah, yeah. Did you guys hear about that? They want to build 800 houses.
Right there in Kapaa, like we need more.
Right by the school.
Yeah.
Right by the middle school up there, on the hill there, and it's in agricultural land. So they're going to the Planning Commission, and they're asking to change it from agriculture, which it was, I guess, an old cane field or something. And they want to build what they're calling low-cost homes, $200,000 to $300,000 homes.
Low-cost, right. How many people out there can afford that?
Yeah, it's pretty expensive, but, you know, compared to what, I guess. Folks who live there are really upset. They're really upset because that's a lot of houses, and if each house has two cars, that means that the Kapaa corridor is going to get really, really more jammed up.
Not counting Coco Palms, not counting the two other hotels that are going to happen over by Coconut Marketplace.
Yeah, yeah.
As well.
So the developers argue, all right, they say, what are you going to do about all the people that moved here? Where are they going to live? And you know what? I say, what about all the people that have a lot of kids? What about it? I mean, if you've had more than two kids, actually even more than one kid.
Careful.
What do you want? I know, I had two kids.
Careful. Where are you going?
What are you going to do? Where are they going to live? Are they going to live in your house? Are they going to stay in your house? Or are they going to get their own house someday when they're adults?
Well, they're not going to buy the $250,000 house.
Well,
they're not.
Probably,
I mean, maybe
not.
Not on the wages that are, you know, we just had a raise of our minimum wage to what, $7.75?
Yeah.
No, I think I'll go buy a house now.
It's a good point. But the bigger point is that we have, you know, when I was a young kid, there were 2 billion people on this planet. Now there's 7.3 billion people on this planet. And we're continuing to multiply. They're all going to want to live somewhere. Where are they going to live? Just not in my backyard? So, you know, to me, when you talk about fighting housing developments, my issue as a conservationist, my issue is, where are you going to build it? so it can protect nature. Let's protect nature. Let's save a little area, or as much as possible, natural. And this area is an old cane field. It's already been destroyed as far as nature is concerned.
I think it'll be destroyed when they put concrete on it.
It'll as far as wild animals and wild plants, they don't care whether it's concrete or a cornfield or elephant grass or buffalo grass. It doesn't matter to nature. So I'm thinking, well, this is not that bad a place to build a development if you're going to build a development.
I would disagree.
I know, because you live in that area.
Exactly.
It's going to really impact that area. That area is already overpopulated for the infrastructure that it has.
There you go.
Now, I've seen arguments put forward that says, well, first build the infrastructure, then build the development. Okay. Well, that argument is a good argument in the short term, but in the long term, when you build bigger roads and freeways and more infrastructure, then you're just telling developers, come on in, the water's fine.
That's right. And Oahu and LA are fine examples.
Yeah.
They got giant roads and they have traffic issues.
You know, if you build it, they will come. And that's the motto of infrastructure. If you have a thing where it's going to take you 2 hours to get to work because there's so much traffic, you're not going to buy a house there. You don't want to live there. Maybe retired people will live there, perhaps, because they don't have to get to work. But bad infrastructure has a real crippling effect on building development. And I'm absolutely opposed to building more concrete roads. I think that we've got infrastructure that's just fine. And if you improve the infrastructure, you're going to get more 800-unit developments here. And you know, that's going to eventually impact nature.
And it'll affect our air quality.
It'll affect everything.
So what's the solution? I agree.
Yeah.
It's definitely a boondoggle.
Yeah.
And we backed ourselves into a corner.
Yeah.
I don't know what the solution is either. A moratorium, I think. Let's just take a break and breathe.
Well, 50% of the pregnancies in the United States are unplanned. How about we plan our pregnancies, folks? If we only have the children that we plan on, I think we would have a whole hell of a lot of less children. And we know that if you educate women, and if you...
And men.
No, women go to high school and college is what I mean by educate women. If you send women to higher education and make birth control easily available, people have less children. And that's the solution to all these housing developments. Because as long as we've got kids on this island who want to live here, there's going to be a demand for rentals. There's going to be a demand for housing. There's, you know, it's just, that's the only solution for, you know. The other solution is the Oahu solution. It's high rises. Put them all in one spot, but that doesn't do much for the traffic and the infrastructure issues, the schools.
I think that's the biggest issue for me, really. I mean, of course, putting concrete on the ground is a drag. But you know, you're right. I think a moratorium.
You know, if we've got to increase awareness of planning your family size. Most people get pregnant when they're way too young and they haven't thought it through, and they got pregnant by accident. And it's like we've had birth control now for 50 years. It's safe and pretty effective. And you know,
it's debatable on the safety of it. Come on, man. It affects your hormones. Some people really react adversely to it.
Well, you know, I, again, as an old family physician here, I think the safe ones are the IUDs. The non-hormonal birth control is pretty good and pretty safe. So, but bottom line is, as long as you're going to have a lot of people, you're going to have a drive to build more houses. It's just the way it is. And, you know, I was telling Allison before we left, the DJ on the show before here, when I used to live in California, that was 10 years ago, I used to give talks, and regardless of what my subject of the speech that I was going to give, I would open every speech with, ladies and gentlemen, today, when you woke up this morning, there were 1,000 new Californians. every day, 1,000 new Californians. And, of course, they're going to build more houses. You know, 1,000 new Californians need houses. So it's a problem, and it's not going to go away.
No. That's why I think we should just take a moment to breathe. We're coming up to the end of the show, and Sunset Jazz is
getting ready.
Away. So, here. We got a couple announcements, and then we'll work our way into it.
Yeah, the whales are back. We want to just remind everybody, go out there and look at the whales. The best places to look at them right now, I think, are everywhere. They're all over the island. Yeah, they're on the west side, the east side. Humpback whales come all the way from Alaska to come here and mate and have babies enjoy the winter here in the warm water. And speaking of humpback whales, the group Kohola Leo is having a movie this Friday at 7 o'clock called Ocean Frontiers, A New Era of Ocean Conservation. It's a real positive movie about what we can do to protect our ocean. So many environmental movies are bummers. This one's got positives. Kohala Leo, 7 p.m. at the Kapa'a Library. Also, Kohala Leo is all having a silent auction Saturday, January 31st from 6 to 8 at Gallery 103 at the Kukui'ula Mall. Fundraiser. And it's a group. They've got a website, whalevoice.org. Good group. The Surfrider Foundation is always doing beach cleanups and net removals. Contact their website. Get on their email list for times and places for that. And if you can, get involved in a conservation group. And if you can't, then at least donate some money to a conservation group, because every little bit, every person counts. Everything we do counts. Even if it's just driving less, recycling more, buying, consuming less, refusing styrofoam, whatever it may be. Big things, little things.
All right. Well,
so thanks.
Thank you so much. We'll be back the next third Monday in February for Kauai Earth Connection.
This is Gordon Labez and Ya, and thanks again, and we'll see you next month.
But the only thing that we're armed with is the truth and the people, and you guys get the guns. You know? You get the guns.
Hospital with a 9-digit number code. I pledged allegiance to the flag when I was only 4 years old. The first thing that I learned in school is we are a country free. One bad forces attack our land. I'll fight for my country. I'll fight for my country.